Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. In this particular sermon, we see the importance of baptism, and we do that with asking one simple question: what is baptism? And with that comes three answers. We see that baptism is a public profession of faith. We see that baptism is one of immersion, and we see that baptism is a symbol of the union we have with Christ. We hope that you enjoy this sermon, and if you would like to know more about Neely's Bend Baptist Church or the gospel, please email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
God is good, amen? God is good. God is good. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Today we're going to be looking at the importance of baptism. The importance of baptism. And I think today it was just such a special time to work through this and to see this and just to go back through and just understand what truly baptism means. And what it means for us as a church, and what it means for us as people. And so we're going to just look at the importance of baptism today. So Romans 6, chapter 3, verse 3 through 5 says this. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for Your goodness. As we just sung, Lord, we sung that You are so good, Lord, and we thank You so much for Your goodness, of how You sent Jesus for us so we could have salvation, so we could have eternal life, Lord. How You sent Jesus so we could believe and then shortly after be baptized, professing You publicly to the world, Lord. God, I pray that You just be with me this morning as I proclaim Your word, and I just preach nothing but Your word and Your word alone, Lord. Help me to preach with simplicity, with clarity and passion, Lord. And God, I pray that You rid our minds of all distractions today and help us to focus on You and Your word alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever been swimming in a pool before? And maybe a friend or a family member dunked you under the water and said, "You've been baptized." I know for myself, this has happened many times, and I've done this to others many times in my life, so forgive me for dunking people underwater. It's just fun, right? It's a fun thing to do as long as you do it safely, right? And I remember as a kid when we would do this, we would sometimes dunk someone underwater and say, "I baptize you." How many of y'all have ever done that before? Lots of us, right? And then you dunk said person. But in that time, it was all fun and games, right? It was never truly a real baptism, was it? It was just fun. So in today's sermon, we're just going to look and see what baptism is. We're going to answer the question, what is baptism? And from that, you will see why just dunking your friend in the water in a pool and saying, "I've now baptized you," is not true baptism. We're actually going to look at several different answers to this question so that we can fully flesh out what baptism means. It doesn't mean that every question will be answered throughout this sermon about baptism, as there are several questions, but we will be able to answer a few really important questions. Baptism is actually a really very important part in the believer's life. It's the moment in which they publicly profess to the world that they believe in Jesus, that they are Jesus followers. For myself, baptism is actually how the Lord revealed the gospel to me, how He revealed Himself to me. Whenever I was about 10 years old, there was a few people in our church that was getting baptized. And I remember me and my mom was in the car and we're heading out of the church parking lot, and I began asking my mom these questions about baptism. Why are they getting baptized? Why was that happening? And my mom said, well, they got saved. And I was like, okay, well, I want to be saved. And so we're driving out of the parking lot, and she hits the brakes, and she looks back, and she goes, the pastor's still at the church. Let's go in and talk to him real quick. So I went in, talked to the pastor, and the pastor shared the gospel with me, showed me that I was a sinner, told me that Jesus died for my sins, and he rose on the third day, and I believed in Jesus that day. A few weeks after that, I was baptized, publicly professing to the world that I'm a Jesus follower. The baptism of another for me is what the Lord used to draw me to himself. But what makes baptism so important? Why are we, as we are today, baptizing those who believe in Jesus? So in our sermon today, we're going to see three answers to what baptism is. Three answers to what baptism is. The first answer that we see is baptism is a public profession of faith. It is a public profession of faith. So essentially what we see is that baptism is a declaration to the world that you are a Jesus follower, that you are no longer going to follow anything else or anybody else in this world but Jesus only. Now, with that said, there's three things that we should note here on baptism as a public profession of faith. The first thing to note is that baptism is only for believers. Baptism is only for believers. If you read verse 3 of Romans chapter 6 again, I think I have it here. It says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now let me ask you this question. Would those who were being baptized into Christ Jesus have been unbelievers? Absolutely not. Especially during the time that this was written in. You see, during this time, Christianity, being a Jesus follower, wasn't a very popular thing to do. In many places in the New Testament, we see the church being persecuted. So I highly doubt that anyone that was being baptized was not a believer. I would wager to say that everybody that was being baptized in the early church was 100% a believer because they knew what it might mean after that. As we see in several other places of Scripture, believing always precedes baptism. If you go to Acts chapter 2, Peter had just preached a sermon to thousands of people. A gospel sermon in which 3,000 people would respond by believing. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, so those who received his word were baptized. As you see in this passage, belief preceded baptism. Therefore, this means that only believers should be baptized, right? I think we can all agree with that. Only believers should be baptized. But it also means that baptism does not save you. As you see in all these stories, believing always precedes baptism. Baptism was just an act of public profession that they are now Jesus followers. Throughout the book of Acts, we see this a few more times. In Acts chapter 9, we have the conversion of Paul. Paul was on the road to Damascus, and Jesus would visit him on that road. Paul would believe in Jesus. And as we see in verse 18, after Ananias visited Paul, he was baptized. Paul was baptized in response to what Jesus had done in his life. Paul was baptized because he was a believer. In Acts chapter 16, we see that Paul and Silas is in prison. And while in prison, they are praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And these jailers, these prisoners, were listening to them sing. And then an earthquake would happen, and the prisoner, assuming that everyone had escaped, drew his sword and was going to kill himself. But Paul said, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. We are all here. The prisoner responded and said, what must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas respond in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, and they said this. And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized. I forgot to move the clicker, didn't I? I got so excited. Y'all ever get that excited, you know? And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Paul and Silas here, we see they shared the gospel. The prisoner and his family believed the gospel, and then they were baptized. Belief preceded baptism. So from Scripture, we can clearly see that baptism is only for believers. And this means that we should only, or this means that we believe in what is called a believer's baptism, right? So this would also mean that we, as a church, don't believe in infant baptism. Meaning that if someone has ever been baptized as an infant, we would say that that baptism means nothing to said person's life. Although it is likely done with good intentions, it just means they had water poured over them. The second thing to note here is that baptism is expected, or really baptism is a command to be followed, a command that believers should follow in. If you go back to read in Romans chapter 6, verse 3, it says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus? As you read, you kind of catch this idea that it was expected that those who believe are to be baptized, right? In all the stories that I just read, every single one of them was baptized shortly after conversion, shortly after believing. So you can pick up on this idea that baptism is the expectation of a new believer to follow, as it is a way to publicly profess to the world that you believe in Jesus Christ. To further clarify this, Jesus commands this in the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, what does Jesus say? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Upon becoming a disciple, the disciples were to baptize the new disciples. Baptism is ultimately a command to be followed by the believer. And this should ultimately be one of the easiest commands to follow, right? As all it involves is getting a little wet. As one pastor wrote, getting wet is the easiest command Jesus gave to follow. It only gets harder from there. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you have never been baptized, I want to encourage you today to make the decision to live in obedience and follow in baptism. Follow the command to be baptized. Because ultimately, being baptized is the church's way of affirming and portraying the believer's union with Christ. This leads us to the third thing for us to note. When one is baptized, it is the church's way of saying, we believe that this person is a believer. Let me ask you a question. Who does the baptizing? The church, right? The church does the baptizing. Can someone baptize themselves? No. I mean, technically they could, but would it be a biblically true baptism? No, it wouldn't. Because in every picture of baptism we all see throughout Scripture, it's always someone else baptizing another. Baptism is always pictured as someone else baptizing the new believer. You never see a single person baptizing themselves. And this means that the person being baptized has called upon the name of the Lord, has confessed and believed in their heart that Jesus is Lord. And because of that, because of their confession, the church is then able to say, yes, we believe this person is a believer, and therefore we will baptize them. And when someone is baptized, That one is particularly baptized, or excuse me, the one that is being baptized is publicly professing that Jesus is Lord. And the church is publicly agreeing that this person is a Jesus follower. Therefore, baptism is a public profession of faith, and the believer is expected to follow the command to be baptized. But this raises another question, doesn't it? How is one baptized? And the answer is, they are immersed. This goes to our second answer that we see. Baptism is one of immersion. Baptism is one of immersion. To display this, I'm going to use three exhibits to do so. So exhibit A, the Greek word for baptism is baptizo, which literally means to be plunged, to be dipped, or to be immersed. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never plunged, dipped, or immersed something into water that didn't fully go underwater. Let me give you an example. I thoroughly enjoy Oreos. I love Oreos, all right? It's one of my favorite snacks. Love Oreos. And Ashton can attest that whenever I get my Oreos, I get my fork, I get my cup of milk, and I put my Oreo on the end of the fork, and I baptize my Oreo. Okay? And I put it in there, and I hold it till the Oreo stops bubbling. And then it's just right. And I take a bite of it now. Now, I'm not going to be holding anybody under till it quit bubbling, so feel safe, okay? That's not going to happen. But the point is, baptism is one of immersion. You're fully going under, and then you're fully coming back up. Exhibit B. Jesus' baptism was one of immersion. If you turn to Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 10, it says this. You see the baptism of Jesus. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Did you guys catch that in verse 10 here? And when he came up out of the water. Sounds like a full immersion baptism to me, doesn't it? There is no way that one can come up out of the water unless they were fully under the water. The picture that we get is that Jesus was dunked entirely under the water and then he was brought back up out of the water. Exhibit 3 is a very similar picture. In Acts chapter 8, when Philip baptizes the Ethiopian or the eunuch, the Bible says that they went down into the water and then they came up out of the water. Baptism is one of immersion, one in which the new believer is fully submerged in water and then brought back up. But why? Why does the Bible insist that baptism is one of immersion? It's because it signifies the believer's union with Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Our third answer is baptism is a symbol of the believer's union with Christ. Baptism is a symbol of the believer's union with Christ. Let's go back to our Romans 6 passage. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized? At this point, we have taken the opportunity to answer who should be baptized, right? And we've also looked at how one is baptized. Believers are baptized, and baptism is one of immersion. Now, Paul gives us an answer to what baptism symbolizes. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And in verse 4, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Church, when we became a believer in Jesus Christ, we entered into a union with Christ, a union that can never be broken. And because of this union with Christ, we too have been united with him in a death like his, and we too will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Now I want you to think about Jesus and what he did so we can have salvation. Jesus died Jesus was buried, and Jesus was raised, right? Jesus died, he went into the earth, and then he came up out of the earth. He was raised out of the earth. So when someone is baptized with immersion, they are ultimately portraying, they are displaying the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism is one of immersion because it displays the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It is a public profession, a public display of one's union with Christ. And because of this union with Christ, it also means that their sins have been what? Washed away. Baptism also symbolizes how one has been washed of their sins. Now, I want to be really clear here, though. Baptism does not save you. Baptism will never save you. Baptism does not save you. Baptism is only a public profession of how you have already been saved, right? Which means that baptism is ultimately, as one author says it, a sign of the gospel's application in your life. A sign of the gospel's application in your life. It is a sign that you are united with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection because you believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a display of how you have had your sins washed and removed because of Christ. In just a few moments, we're going to baptize Josh and Tara. And as they are being baptized, I want you to remember how because of Jesus' death, Jesus' burial, and Jesus' resurrection, you have eternal life in Him. I want you to remember that you have been forgiven and you have had your sins washed away. In our sermon today, we've seen three answers. Three answers to what baptism is. Baptism is a public profession of faith. It is the moment in which the new believer displays to the world what they inwardly believe. It is the moment in which the new believer is displaying to the world that they are a Jesus follower. And because this is a public profession of faith, it means that baptism is who? Is only for believers. We also learned that baptism is a command for believers. It is expected that believers are baptized because it is how they publicly profess Christ as Lord. We saw that baptism is how it is the church's way of saying this person is a believer. This is what we are going to do in a few moments with Josh and Tara. We as a church are publicly saying to the world that based on their confession of faith, we believe them to be believers. The second answer that we saw was that baptism is one of immersion. One who is fully submerged and brought back up out of the water. The third answer is that baptism is a symbol of the union we have in Christ. It represents the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. It represents how we have been forgiven and our sins have been washed away. But what does all this mean for us? What does it mean for you? So three ways for us to live this out. The first way to live this out is ultimately by believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. If you're here today and you're hearing about this baptism stuff for the first time in your life, or maybe you've been going to a church for many, many years and you've seen people get baptized before, but you've never believed in Jesus, I want you to know that God wants nothing more than to save even you. But that means you have to enter into a saving relationship with God. And we know that God is holy and God is righteous and God is just. And because He is those things and we are not, because we're sinners, we are separated from God. We have no relationship with God. But God made a way. Amen. He is so good, as we sung earlier, that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. And because of what Jesus did through His death, through His burial, and through His resurrection, you can believe and have your sins forgiven. And as you are saved, the righteousness of Jesus is bestowed upon you. And God no longer looks at you and sees sin. Because of Jesus, you can have a saving relationship with God. And all you have to do is respond by believing the gospel of Jesus, calling upon the name of Jesus, confessing that Jesus is Lord, and repenting of your sins. If that is you today, during our invitational song, please come down and let's have a conversation about this decision you're making. If that makes you uncomfortable, then know that you're willing and you have the opportunity to talk to me at any moment after the service. If you want to call me, if you want to email me, know that I'm available to talk about this decision. The second way to live this out is by getting baptized. So if you make a perfect, if you believe in Jesus Christ, then we should get baptized. And so if you are a believer here and you've never been baptized, I want to encourage you to follow in obedience of God's Word and be baptized. Yes, I know that baptism has nothing to do with salvation. I know that the guy on the cross that got saved was never baptized, but that was an exception. He was on a cross, right? But you, barring any major health complication, have the ability to get baptized. And you should. Jesus says in Matthew 10, verse 33, "Whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." As I've already explained, baptism is a public profession of faith. And if you are resisting baptism, in many ways you are denying Jesus before men. It is the easiest command to follow. It only involves you getting wet. So if this is you, at the back of the pew in front of you there's a visitor/prayer card. Take that card, write your name on it, and a way to contact you, and we will get you baptized. I'll reach out to you, and we'll have a conversation about baptism. And finally, the last way to live this out is by proclaiming Christ, proclaiming Jesus. Guys, I don't know about you, but I want nothing more to see lives being changed spiritually here in Neely's Bend, Madison, and even beyond, right? I want to see this church baptize many people this year because our people are sharing the gospel of Jesus with those around us. And I believe you want to see that too. So therefore, let's proclaim Christ and live on mission. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. Lord God, as we come to this time of invitational, Lord, I pray that there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior and Lord, that today they make that decision to believe in you, that they respond to your gospel, Lord. And God, as we celebrate baptism here in a moment, help us to all remember of what you did for us, of how you saved us, how because of your death, your burial, and your resurrection, Lord, we can have life. Lord, we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.